Good morning. It is 9:09 and a cloudy 33. I'm Larry Long. Welcome to Over the Garden Fence with your host, gardening expert Andy Waddell. Over the Garden Fence is brought to you by Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center at the corner of Milliman 12th Street. And now we are going to go out to Waddell's. That's right. We are broadcasting live today from Waddell's. And let's go out there and welcome everyone. Andy, good morning.
All righty. Well, good morning, Larry and Tim Abramowski, joining you live at Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center for this morning's edition of Over the Garden Fence, of course, located at the corner of Milliman 12th Street. Joining us, of course, is Andy Waddell. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Tim.
And we have a special guest with us this morning.
We sure do. We sure do. We'd like to thank everybody for coming. And then our special guest, P. Ellen Smith from HGTV.
It's a thrill to be here.
Yeah. Thank you.
Warm welcome here in Kalamazoo.
You bet.
Despite the cold winter.
You bet.
Warm hearts.
That's right. Warm hearts, warm inside, everybody. So you bet. And you see that that rain got a lot of the snow out of here last night. So much rather have rain than the snow coming. So
hey, I'm all about that, brother.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, we always start off the morning edition of Over the Garden Fence with some timely tips. So how about we dig right into that?
You bet. You bet. And we'll cut it short a little bit today so we can have a chance, everybody, to talk to Alan. And some of your questions are very pertinent for the week, too. So thank you again for all coming, and Alan, for you coming.
Oh, it's
for
a thrill to be here.
Just making sure that everybody knows, Tim, this morning, that the calls, can we get them from the audience?
Well, we will be taking the questions here from the audience live, so we are unable to get to your calls phone call-wise, so just hang on to those until next week. And, of course, we encourage folks to come on down to Waddell's.
Yep. And then next week we'd be back in the studio. So with winter kind of moving a little slow, the rain last night was actually a very encouraging welcome. The snow pile started disappearing, like I said just a second ago. And when the snow starts leaving, what starts getting revealed? Lawns that have been decimated. Really, the lawn hasn't seen the light of day in 4 months, has it? It's like been buried underneath. And when the snow starts disappearing, you start seeing snow mold, moles, shrews, vole damage, all kinds of things that, and all the things that were left over that you forgot to pick up out in the yard, too. I finally found the shovel the other night. Oh, there it went. But snow mold looks like white cotton, and it's mixed into the top layer of the lawn. Waddell suggests raking that out and fluffing that up, throwing it away. It'll actually dissipate, but if you move it around and leave it on the lawn, you're just leaving it there. We'd suggest right now, even in the cold, to do an application of Daconil, and then fluffing it up, putting a light application of fertilizer and a little grass seed on it. The application then will be many weeks before you guys have to really dig in and do your first application on your lawn.
So have you spelled your name with grass seed in your lawn before? Like Andy with seed?
We did fertilizer on Portage Northern Hill facing I-94 years ago.
My brother did that once, but he misspelled his name. That's another problem in the family. We struggle with illiteracy.
Yes. Portage Northern allowed us to, even though I didn't graduate, put our year that we graduated. So we did a huge 82 in it out by the highway. So not vandalism. We did a benefit to the hill there,
though.
There
you go. Eco-vandalism. That's right. Right. Having fun with fertilizer.
That's right. Yeah. Anybody got molds in the yard right now? Probably don't even know.
How do you deal with those, Andy?
Yeah. George had said he is surrounded by country where he lives.
Right.
And his yard is mole-free right now.
Oh.
So you end up using Repellex.
And send the moles over to your neighbor's yard.
Send the moles over to your neighbor's.
That's the idea.
Yep. You don't have the moles.
You can't get rid of them. Get them packing. Headed to the neighbor.
Yep. Right. Little suitcase with Repellex inside. Yep. But the mold damage will start and continue here for the next couple months. And if you don't do something soon, I have the star molds. I had we had a very good session this week learning about moles, believe it or not.
Yeah, I'm sure. Are there mole cookbooks, like for preparing moles? Maybe that would scare them and they'd leave if they knew they were, like, you know, suddenly could be part of an entree.
On Shrek, they cook moles, but I'm not on Man versus Wild.
I'll think about that. I don't know. There might be something there.
That's right.
The way we deal with deer at the farm is that we post venison recipes around. That got their attention.
Yeah.
So they tell all their friends.
That's,
you know,
right.
It spreads like cheap red wine on a white suit.
Do not go to the Smith's house.
Yeah,
right?
That's right. Yeah.
Well, we'll try that.
Mole recipes. Let's look for that. It's a new trend.
Well, you said parsnips last night. So a little parsnip mole combination, maybe. So if you guys want to keep your moles for your recipes, but most people don't, go ahead and try to use Repellex. You can apply it now. Go ahead and put it down with a drop spreader, and if you can't get a spreader through the yard, just go ahead and apply it in the areas. You can make a barrier that they don't like to cross, and all you're trying to do is prevent that mole from getting in the yard and doing damage.
Now, I don't know whether this works or not, but this is an old wives' tale. But I have heard that if you have a cat and you have a litter box, if you will dispose of that litter box at key places where the moles have been digging,
mm-hmm.
they recognize that that's a predator,
mm-hmm.
and then they go over to the neighbor's yard.
Yep.
It's good to have a neighbor that doesn't have a cat.
It's based on scent.
Yeah, there you go.
It is. So we, like for deer, we have predator urines that we sell. Coyote.
I've always wondered how they extract that.
Yeah, that would be not
too much information.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And we don't need to go there.
Isn't that one of the dirty job shows?
I guess it would be.
Wouldn't it be?
I would rank it right up there at the top. Yeah.
So what is your occupation, sir?
Right. Yes. How would you describe that? Yeah.
Extractor. I just don't want to go into details.
That's right. Let's leave it at that.
So predator urines do work. Our farm, we got tired of our arborvitas where we grow getting just ruined. And some of those predator urines work fairly good. The coyote, the deer do notice that and do scamper away from that area when you lose all of their opportunities.
Just go right to their base instincts.
Yeah.
Yeah, fear.
Or the venison recipes.
Yeah, there you go.
So a lot of people seeing winter damage on the lawns. They're also seeing a lot of winter damage on plants. Somebody already, Alan, just this week, out of the snowbank, yanked up their plants and brought them in.
Oh,
saying
really?
Saying they were dead.
Okay.
And so we're just trying to let people know that where the snow line was, a lot of plants sticking above it, like a rhododendron or Pieris japonica or holly was what they brought in. What she brought in was totally alive.
And fine. It was just packed in snow.
It was brown.
Uh-huh.
So the top underneath had kept alive in the snowbank.
Sure.
And the top portion had burned. Now, all you have to do is give the plant a chance. If it's rooted in and it's 2 and 3 years old plus, it's going to be fine. Yes, I've lost the top portion. Yes, I probably lost some of the flower on the rhododendron or the pieris.
Defoliation does not equal death.
Thank you.
Right. Just because it's lost its leaves doesn't mean it's dead.
Yep.
Yeah.
So wait for Mother Nature.
That's right.
Let the spring push it out and then do the pruning on
that. We defoliate, you know.
I
have an uncle who lost all his hair and he's still alive. So, see, you just have to follow that sort of metaphor.
Right. That's right. I need to defoliate a couple pounds.
Right. Lesson learned.
That's right. That's right. So if you have things like the holly, the pieris, azaleas took a beating this winter, I think they're going to be fine.
They will be. We'll remain hopeful.
I think the issue is be patient. Let spring take off and get them a chance to bud out. Once they start budding, yes, you've probably lost 10, 15, maybe 30% of the plant. But wait till end of April, middle of May, and then go ahead and prune them off.
You know, I think sometimes people get very eager with pruning. And pruning actually makes people very anxious, which I've found. They have pruning anxieties. And so what I ask them to do is to follow the three Ds. You want to remove anything that's damaged. dead or diseased.
Oh.
But not get too carried away in the beginning. Like you said, let's be patient. Let's just watch, see what comes up.
Yes, sir.
And then I scratch the bark, and I start moving down the plant. I start at the tip, and if it's brown, that's where I might cut. But I go all the way down until I find green wood, and that's where I'll make my cut, at a slight angle with a nice, sharp pair of secateurs. Mm-hmm. I just hate to see shrubs that have been cut with a dull object.
Yeah.
How would you like to be cut with a dull object?
It's like a bad haircut.
I know. It's bad. It's bad. I mean, think like the plant.
Pruning, you can always do more. You can always cut more. A lot of times after you've cut the branch, then you go, oh, my gosh.
Have you ever tried to put it back?
You can't.
It just doesn't work. I've tried. I'm like, we cut a lady's shrubs down once. She was not happy. I was running around trying to figure out how to super glue it back. It didn't work.
Well, maybe have somebody else with you. Like on a large tree, if you're doing a large pruning, you do the pruning, you stand back. That way you see, I can always take off more, I always say, on that pruning.
I like the stand back job. Yeah.
Go
point. This one, no, not this one.
No, that one.
This one. Reach higher, that one.
So you're kind of a pruning driver, a backseat pruner?
I'm a backseat pruner.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
So, pruning tips, the 3Ds, that's pretty good.
Yeah, thank you. It's my job.
Well, so with the pruning, you'll see a lot of disease. You'll see a lot of browning, and you will see some dead. Once we see that, but I bet on Pieris japonica or Japanese Andromeda, you guys will see 7 weeks before I bet that bud's out. Easy. It'll be the third week, second week in May before it really starts pushing out growth. So at that point, that's when I would do some of that dead wood removal.
Yeah. You know, you folks up here love roses, and I just want to point out something about rose rosette because it's really hot. A big topic. A lot of people are concerned about it. We had some experts come to the farm, and we had a workshop recently, and I learned something about rose rosette, which I thought was very good, because we're all organic, so I'm always looking for ways to care for the garden in an organic and responsible way. And what's interesting about rose rosette is it's actually a virus that is spread by a mite. And this is the time of year to really take action. If you've seen rose rosette in your garden, you know what it looks like because it's this weird kind of thing you might have seen on like Star Trek. You know, your plant gets these multiple little stems of bright red leaves and stems that come out. They're all contorted and twisted. It's really sort of ugly and bizarre and frightening, and you want to run from it.
Older knockouts get right. That. The older knockout roses, sometimes they mound
well,
at the top.
Other, not just knockouts, yep. Other roses. It's not exclusive to knockouts.
Yep.
We just have a lot of knockouts that are planted, so therefore it's more prevalent.
Yes,
but what they've discovered is the mite that carries this virus actually, during the winter, harbors itself in the upper limbs of the plant. Okay, so if you will be a very serious pruner and get in there early, like now, like as soon as this is over, like as soon as this radio show's over, and you come and you listen to my talk, you go out there and you start pruning them, what you want to do is you want to cut that plant in half, okay? Just cut it off and get rid of all of that topical growth. Get rid of it, bag it up, and get it in the dump, or if you can burn it, burn it. But don't compost it. Get rid of it. Get it off your place. And you're gonna move a lot of the chances of getting rose rosette out that way. Then spray with a dormant oil because you want to suffocate. That's the beauty of a dormant oil. You're actually suffocating the pupa, the eggs, even the insect that might be there with the dormant oil. And spray all around the base of the plant. And that's what's recommended here because it's really more about a preventative. And then if you'll do some sort of insecticidal soap or something like that, once they begin to leaf out and stay on that, keeping that mite at bay that's carrying that because it'll spread. It'll go from and that's how it spreads. The mite moves from one plant to the next. It begins to suck the phytoplasm out of the plant, it infects it, and it has it, and they move on to the next one. Ugly.
And dormant oil is what is in our notes. You guys are going to be needing to do probably in the next couple, 2 or 3 weeks.
So it's an easy solution, but it's just timely, and now's the time to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Tim, you want to take a break soon?
That we can. How about we do that right now? We'll head back to the studio for WKZO, and we'll be right back with more of Over the Garden Fence on 590 WKZO.
Very good.
Yeah.
So we can rock in between the... We got a commercial?
This is where we do hand puppets?
Hand puppets, yes. So we got a question right here.
Snow has made it extra hard for wild birds to find food. Woodell's Garden Center is the place you can count on for top quality bird feed at great prices. This week, Woodell's has many of the birds' favorites on sale. Black oil sunflowers.
Ma'am, will answer that. Yep, he's just going to come back from the commercial that's on.
$18.69. Give your birds
good question, by the way.
And some extra energy with Bird Tweet Suet Cakes. They're just 88 cents each, or get a whole case of 15 or just $12.90. For a big variety of birds, Woodell's recommends Songbird Blend. The 25-pound bag is just $11.59. If you enjoy feeding the birds but not seeing the leftover hulls pile up, get Woodell's No Waste, No Hulls Blend. It's 100% seed hearts with no mess to clean up. Both sizes are on sale. The 25-pound bag is just $28.39. Need a new bird feeder? Woodell's whole selection of wild bird feeders are 25% off. Just ask Woodell's friendly, knowledgeable staff which feeder and feeds would work best. Woodell's Garden Center, your bird feeding headquarters for 68 years, is on Texas Drive at the corner of Milma 12th Street. Need some fresh air in your home or office? Woodell's is where you'll find the best selection around of fresh, green, tropical plants. Did you know scientists have found that house plants can greatly improve the air quality in your home? Some of the best air cleaners you're sure to enjoy include pothos, palms, peace lilies, ferns, and many others, all available at Woodell's. Let their houseplant experts help you pick out the ones that would do best in the lighting of your home or office. Want something that can grow in a poorly lit area? Try a pothos plant. Want something that has blooms to brighten up your indoor living area? Get some orchids. There are several varieties that have just arrived. Another blooming favorite is the African violet. They're easy to grow and come in an array of colors. No matter which ones you choose, houseplants naturally and effectively clean the air you breathe through their recycling of the air around them. Come visit with Woodell's plant professionals. They're always glad to help you with your plant care questions. They can even pot them up for you. Start cleaning your indoor air with beautiful quality plants from Woodell's Nursery, Forest, and Garden Center on Texas Drive at the corner of Milma 12th Street. Do you have the can't-wait-to-garden itch? Gardeners of all ages are itching to get their hands dirty and plant something. Now's the time to start the planting season by browsing the seed department at Woodell's Garden Center, where this week all seeds are 25% off. Choose from seeds by Burpee, The Cook's Garden, Fairy Morse, Botanical Interests, and more. There's even a selection especially for kids to successfully grow and enjoy. Plan your garden now for healthier eating this year by growing your own fresh vegetables. Talk to Woodell's gardening experts for advice. Want to get started now? Get efficient grow light bulbs and grow indoors year-round. Woodell's new grow light bulbs have 10,000 hours of life. That's 9 years based on 3 hours per day with an estimated energy cost of just $3.85 per year. Woodell's has all your seed starting needs, including the new fiber core environmentally friendly pots, seed starting soil, seedling heat mats, labels, and more. And don't forget, this week, all your vegetable and flower seeds are 25% off. Get a head start in your gardens with friendly advice from the experts at Woodell's Nursery, Forest, and Garden Center on Texas Drive at the corner of Milma 12th Street.
Virtually worldwide. One of my favorites, my great friend Nancy Lancaster used to say, reminded her of the smell of wet dogs, the smell of boxwood.
They do.
But, you know, when you have these sorts of things happen, boxwoods are very elegant and expensive. And the idea, I think, here would be not to get in too big of a rush and maybe pull this one back up. I'm not surprised about the yellow leaves on the inside. This happens. We had the very same thing happen at our farm with some big bucks of sempervirens. The ice came down on them and split them out. So we tied them up with some jute. One of the things that we add to our boxwood fertilization, we use an organic fertilizer. We do not mulch boxwood. And we take a little Epsom salts and put around the base of boxwood because that really can help green up the leaves. It's the manganese that really gives that deep, rich green color. So, you know, I think you've done the right thing by pruning them down to a third. That's very good, and because they can get out of hand. But I wouldn't get in too big of a hurry with it. Yeah.
Maybe tie it up, you said, jute, or we have, like, stretch tie, or we even have Velcro stretch tie that you could use. Bring it up and then reevaluate at the end of the month. I know you were talking about it's two on one side and one on the other side, and so maybe offsetting that with some other perennials, or we sell boxwood in three or four different sizes. You could buy another really big one. But like Alan said, maybe wait.
Well, a lovely way to plant boxwood, and we see this in Virginia and places. That was just in Charleston, and before that in Williamsburg. You see these clouds of boxwoods, and so where, you know, it's suddenly one of them's misshapen. So you just add two or three around the base of a big one, and then you begin to get these lovely clouds of boxwood, which is another way to maybe think about it rather than having a single specimen.
Thank you, ma'am. Do we have another question in the audience we'd like to ask? Go ahead, Rose. Jim?
My question is somewhat related. We have a couple of globe arborvitae. They're nice round plants. Unfortunately, this winter, they were in the path of where the snow blower dumped all the snow. Now, as the snow is melting, what's emerging is really ugly. Is there, you know, the leaves are, the branches are bent. Anything, any hope for these?
There is. There is. Very similar to the boxwood. I might, on evergreens or boxwood itself, arborvitae itself, I might wait on pruning guys a little bit. We're going to still get some cold. It's like getting a haircut and going straight outside. Brr. So I might hold off on the pruning. Let's see if we can get that plant maybe brought up a little bit, ma'am, and get it tighter, stretched high. Maybe do a feeding, he had suggested. We sell the Espoma products, which are organic. You can do that holly tone, which is very good for evergreens or broadleaf evergreens. Either one could be done. On the cedar itself, unlike boxwood, maybe that's something you have to evaluate, and maybe that one needs to come out. There is a dead zone with pruning. So if you get down to a point in an evergreen where you have trimmed everything off and left very little foliage, it's very hard for that plant to come back.
That's a very good point to make, and I think a lot of people don't understand this. When Andy's talking about evergreens, he's not necessarily talking about broadleaf evergreens. We're talking about coniferous evergreens. And if you cut too far back to the wood, it will not come back with green foliage. So you want to be careful about where you cut. Hollies, for instance, we can stump a holly back, and it will flush green growth. You can cut right back to the trunk. And this is the great thing about yew. You can do this as well with yew. You can cut it back, and it will come back. You know, I always heard that the difference between a good haircut and a bad haircut is about 6 weeks. And so, you know, you want to be careful with these, you know, spruces, the arborvitas, you know, chemocyparis, these types of things. You know, you don't want to get too carried away. Be judicious in your pruning and just be patient and see what leafs out. We'll be hopeful that it'll leaf out.
That snowblower rips a lot of that foliage right off the middle of the plant. I drive by a neighbor's that the blue spruce, all his foliage is out in the snowbank. That you can just tell right where that snowblower went by every week because it was crispy and crunchy and the freezing cold and blew right off. Well, that's probably where that pruning's going to need to be.
So next year you'll just have to stand out there when the snowblower comes by and just wave them down and say, stay away.
Alan,
I think we had a question
caller
over here.
Yeah.
I have two questions about hydrangeas. I have one that dies all the way back, and it's never bloomed. The second question is I have a friend that wants to know how to trim her hydrangea. So,
well, Andy, you want to go or you want me to go? All right. So it depends on the kind of hydrangea that you're growing. For instance, let's take one called Incredibel. It's a beautiful proven winner's type. This is Hydrangea arborensis, which is a native. You've seen it. It's also called Annabelle. And this is one that blooms on new wood. Okay, so you can cut it all the way to the ground, or we cut ours down to about 10 inches, and then suddenly these stems come up, and on the ends of those you get these beautiful white blooms, all right? Then if you look at some of the macrophyllas, hydrangea macrophylla, which are the big mop head hydrangeas, or even the lace cap hydrangeas, what you want to do is you want to be careful. I only go back and cut, as I said earlier, start at the tip and work my way down, scratching the bark to see where it's brown. And when it's suddenly green, there's where I make a cut with an outwardly facing bud, because I want that plant to grow out, not into itself. But don't cut any of those. Don't do a deep cut on those, because at the ends of those buds, that's where your flower is going to be on those. Okay, got it? Now, the next group of hydrangea, let's go ahead and make this really confusing, is the panicle hydrangeas, mm-hmm. Hydrangea paniculata. So do you all know limelight? Have you grown limelight, which is a beautiful PG-type hydrangea? And that's one that you can just prune just about any time of the year. It's very forgiving. And we just let ours go berserk, and so I hardly ever prune those, and they're really fantastic to have around. I hope that answers your question. Yeah.
So on the flowering aspect, he is definitely right. On the macrophyllias, that's what I think a lot of people have the problem getting them to flower. Paniculatas and the Annabelle seem to be more tried and true. They tend to flower every year.
Oh, new wood.
New wood.
Right.
So the macrophyllias in Michigan, I suggest... We would else suggest mulching them heavy, because the bud unions sometimes burn off.
Oh, because it gets so cold.
It gets so cold. And so the roots are zone 5, but sometimes the top is zone 6, meaning there's too much kill. And so then you have a... Oh, thank you very kindly. And so then you have a point where mulching will allow that bud to overwinter. Number 2, macrophyllias, they're working with Alan. And so a lot of times proven winners, ma'am, are finding ones that bloom on old wood and new wood, but traditionally they only bloomed on old wood. So you prune the wrong time of year, you prune off all your flower. That's what a lot of people are having problems with. So that's why they work harder and harder with some of the newer varieties.
Like these people who get all, I call them neatniks. You know, everything has to be perfect in their garden. And they get out there and they prune all of their azaleas in the fall. Guess what? They just cut off all their blooms. You know, mm-hmm. You wait until after it flowers. And so that's the thing you want to keep in mind with your macrophyllas. You want to prune, if you need to prune them back immediately after they bloom.
Yes.
And what I would do is wait until those flowers harden off, cut the flowers and dry them, and use them in dried flower arrangements. We don't throw anything away.
If you still have a stubborn macrophylla, big leaf hydrangea, 0460 or your middle number of your NPK will allow more bud and flower development. But Alan just said azalea pruning. I've watched somebody prune rhododendron because they didn't have time in June to prune. They pruned them in July and August, but it was just the new growth coming on. But guess what? It was all the new buds coming on. They sheared the entire, all the flowers off for the next year. And that's what you kind of cherish on the rhododendron.
Heartbreaking, really.
It is. So, and... once you see that, it's okay, because you'll have the plant flush out a little better for the next year, but you just won't have the flower.
There you go, Andy. That's silver lining. You're always looking for that.
That's right.
I like you. You're a glass half full kind of guy.
Listening to Over the Garden Fence on 590 WKZO with Andy Waddell and special guest P. Alan Smith. We'll take a quick break and be right back in 60 seconds on 590 WKZO.
KZO.com, AccuWeather Forecast.
We have probably 30.
Is that all?
There can be a snow shower in spots this morning, mainly closer to the lake. Otherwise, mostly cloudy, windy, and colder today, with a high of only 38. Tonight, cold, mostly cloudy, all the way down to 14 degrees. Tomorrow, a very chilly day with a mostly cloudy sky, the high just 26. It stays cold as some sun turns to clouds on Monday, high 31. I'm AccuWeather meteorologist Dan DePodwin.
Get AccuWeather anytime at WKZO.com.
That's right. That's how you get a green thumb.
Zio, as we continue on with this morning's edition of Over the Garden Fence, joining us, of course, we're live on location at Waddell's, and our host, Andy Waddell, special guest, P. Allen Smith, and we can still have time for a quick question or two out in our audience if anyone has a question.
We were talking about pruning and hydrangeas, so if somebody wants to chime in.
I think it's frightened them. Pruning is very frightening, yeah.
Hydrangeas can be frightening. It's actually a very easy plant. But I'm very thankful, again, going into Proven Winners, they work very hard. We've been up at four-star greenhouses with the annuals. We have been at Walter's Gardens, Waddell's has, and we've also visited Spring Meadow Nurseries, and that's the three Proven Winner growers in the Michigan area. The hybridizing and what they've worked on is actually incredible, trying to work. Like their new hosta is Empress Wu. It's supposed to be a fantastic new variety of large hosta that a man can hide under.
Yeah. Can you imagine Empress Wu? She must have been formidable. The real Empress Wu. I wouldn't want to mess with Empress Wu. She's
right.
A big girl.
If you can hide under her.
That's a big hosta.
That's a big dress.
You know, the container gardening is really hot, and at 11 o'clock I'm going to be doing a workshop on container gardening. And we're going to be having a lot of fun with different color combinations and things like that. One of the trends that we see is that folks are really interested, Andy, and I'm sure we've talked about this since I've been here, the interest in food. And we did a workshop last night where we did four recipes from my cookbook. And we're going to do recipes from my container book today.
Yes, sir.
But I love this idea of mixing things up, you know, and we tend to want to segregate everything, don't we? You know, annuals go here. Oh, no, that's a perennial. It goes over there. Got to have a shrub here. Oh, herbs, they go over here. But, you know, we're going to mix them up. We're going to have some fun and really mix them up because there's some beautiful herbs. There's some beautiful vegetables that really ought to be integrated with some of these annuals and flowers. And to me, that's what's really exciting.
Isn't he saying it? It's very traditional, isn't it? We always all put the annuals in the whiskey barrel, in the pots. We never would want to put a perennial or a shrub in
oh,
there.
Oh, God, no.
Yep.
Can't do that. Mm-mm.
But
yeah.
Really, the times have changed.
The neighbors will talk.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Can you imagine? It'll spread. Psst, 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 psst.
We have a couple designers here that have kind of broke the mold, though.
I like that. Yeah.
It was shocking.
Yeah.
So we put in shrub or woody. We put in some perennial, and then we did some annual in those containers, and it really makes a nice draw.
Live large, you know. Step out there and take a risk.
But what about those containers on that patio? You said herbs, and
yeah.
You're talking about cooking. Maybe that might be something they can benefit from.
It's handy, is what I say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm in the middle of cooking something, and suddenly I realize I need flat leaf Italian parsley. Well, you know, I don't want to walk three blocks to my vegetable garden and cut some flat-leaf Italian parsley.
Me neither.
I want to step back on the terrace and clip a few bits there or some chives, whatever, and finish up what I'm cooking and go back to entertaining and talking to my friends.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this idea of having some really sexy herb gardens mixed in with some flowers and so forth on the patio makes a lot of sense.
Now, do you see container being somewhat mobility at the same time? More ease to get to that area up on a patio?
Well, sure.
Or as you get of age, it's easier to harvest?
Yeah, you know, I mean, there are a lot of advantages to container gardening. I mean, most of them are pretty obvious. But to me, aesthetically, what we have today is really a wide range of containers. And what I love to do in my first book, Garden Home, we really talk about 12 principles of design. And it's this idea of blurring the lines between inside and out. And I really love to think about the inside of my home and then what am I looking out at? Or, you know, what am I seeing through that plate glass window when I'm looking out onto that patio or terrace?
Yes, sir.
And carrying that color theme from inside to out is really an exciting thing to do and to think about. And so often I think when we come to a garden center, you know, I've already felt it coming into Waddell's. As I said last night, you know, I feel like I've been raised as a child with only 8 crayons, a box of 8 crayons, and I come here and suddenly I'm a child given 64 crayons.
You got 64
you
crayons.
You know, all these colors to work with. And I think that the thing that I tend to do is I come in a garden center and I go wacko, and I start snatching and grabbing everything, and I get it home and I plant it, and I 3 weeks later, I go, what in the heck have I done? You know, it looks like a botanical zoo. And so today we're going to really talk more about, you know, thinking about color themes. What would drive a color theme? Why would you have a color theme? And talk about some of these harmonic combinations that can really make your garden sing.
I agree. And that's why we've talked about that mobility, the container, the herb, the annual,
right,
the woody, and the perennial all in one. And I think we probably, I see the queue probably wrapping it up here.
It's time to wrap things up this morning. Thank you very much, Andy, for inviting us out here. P. Alan Smith, thank you very much, Tim, for being here.
Yes, it's a great pleasure.
Thank you, Alan, for entertaining us today.
Oh, it's been great fun. Yeah. You all are fantastic, and I hope you'll all come visit us at the farm. Many people have asked about tours of the farm. You can go to my website, palansmith.com.
This has been Over the Garden Fence with your host, Andy Waddell. Over the Garden Fence brought to you each Saturday by Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center with the corner of Milliman 12th Street. Join us again next Saturday morning after the 9 o'clock news for Over the Garden Fence. Coming up next, your financial planner with Ron Weiser on 590 WKZO.